Brother Todd mentioned a while ago, we have been in a two-day conference. And all along through life, without judging, you find people who love God with all of their heart. People who have a desire to see a moving of the Holy Ghost. And then you see people who are drifting with the tide. But I'm glad of the redeeming grace of God, aren't you? Amen, amen. Now, you might wonder why I wanted to sing that song, I'm Free Again, this morning. But maybe in the message today, you'll realize why that we sang it. The best thing and the greatest thing that ever happened in my life was a day that I found the freedom of God by grace. He didn't have to save me, but He loved me and He did. And I want to praise Him for it today. He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Glory to God. First, before we go in the message today, I'd like to mention we do have a first cousin of mine in the hospital in Decatur, and even as far as the family is concerned, he's already deceased. They got him on the life-saving equipment, but there's no heartbeat. And they're taking him off, I understand, or maybe have already took him off this morning. And but it doesn't matter if it's my kindred or yours or whoever it is. Man has an appointment with God. Amen? And we'll meet that. Every one of us will meet that. But you know one thing? I'm so glad that I found freedom from the bondage of sin. Only way I could find it was through Jesus Christ. But what a peace. What a consolation. What a satisfaction when you really find that peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if God will help me today for a little while this morning, and if you'll pray, I'll just preach as long as God wants me to and just as short as God wants me to. But I want to use the subject, what freedom requires. What freedom requires. Did you know today that we are here at Mount Olive Church and even the people in Coleman County and in Alabama and all the United States, we can walk around today and we can go where we please because somebody paid a price for freedom. Amen. Somebody paid a price for freedom. No doubt today there's a home somewhere where there's a purple heart hanging on the wall or in the drawer. And some mother walks by often and picks it up and looks at it. And it said, Mama, I died for that country of freedom that you live in. Somewhere there's a young lady that just began living in life with her husband, and he had to go in one of the wars. And he went out to meet God, and they sent his remains back to this country. Maybe it's a flag folded, and she often looks at it, and she remembers her plans in life and how great they were. But that flag is saying through that husband that went down on the battlefield, he's saying, honey, I died for that country of freedom that you live in today. And I really believe with all of my heart that so many times people forget how the freedom of salvation came to the world. And when you forget, you abuse that freedom. But I've said this so many times. The freedom of salvation that I have today in Christ Jesus cost the best heaven had. And I want to tell you, I believe as much as I believe anything in the world, that to obtain and enjoy and experience this freedom in life, it requires something of me. It really does. But oh, when I can surrender fully and I can portray what freedom really means to me today, what a joy it is in my life. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to read some scripture in your hearing. And as I read it today, you'll find here that there is a difference in freedom and living in bondage and in prison. You say, well, preacher, everybody knows that, but you're only looking at it from the outside. I'm afraid so many people only look at it from the physical side or the natural side. But today, I want you to consider this from the spiritual side. Now, I want you to think about it very much. You know, I believe there's people today who have access to freedom, but they don't have the freedom because they do not go the way of freedom. Paul said here in the Word of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and beginning with verse 14, he said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, "I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you." Now, Paul was simply saying here, and if you read earlier in that chapter, you'll find that he was at a time when people were going to and fro and worshiping all kinds of idol gods. But he said, "Now, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will be your God, and you'll be my child." He said, "Come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not, handle not the unclean things." And I believe with all of my heart today that many, you know, sometimes the prisoner is freed. He's let out of prison. But then, in the midst of all of this, he looks out and the physical man begins to lead him again into the things which will destroy the freedom that he has and bring him into prison. And I might throw this in right here. I thought it was so good. And I don't know why the Lord wanted me to preach on this, but since he has, I want to share this with you. Now, Friday night I went to a missionary meeting, and there was an ex-convict there that had been saved, and he is preaching. And he's preaching and carrying the message in the prisons. And he told about the time that in his life when he was lost, and he would often get into this kind of problem and trouble and into that kind. And it went on and on until one day in the last, he was brought before the judge, I believe in Tuscaloosa or Montgomery. He was brought before the judge, and that day when he was brought in before the judge, he said the judge hit his desk and looked at him and said, "Thomas, I sentence you to life. You'll never be no better." Did you know today that's exactly what the devil is doing with millions of people in America today, all over our land? He is sentencing them to death eternal. But thank God, amen, there is relief and there is freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said when that judge said that, they took him out. And they took him to prison, I believe maybe Kilby. And he stayed there for 5 years with a sentence of death hanging over his head. And he said, "You know, the impossible things with man are still possible with God." And somehow or another, after 5 years, he was paroled. He got a, you know what hits my heart so heavy right now? Satan had me sentenced to death, and only hell was waiting for me after my few years that I live in this life. But thank God, by the blood of Jesus Christ that fell at Calvary, I was paroled out, set free. And when he got out of prison, he said another thing impossible. He said it's impossible for an inmate or a prisoner to fall in love with a guard. But he said, "You know, while I was in there, I looked on this upon this stand out there, and he said, I saw this pretty lady. And she was there, she was a guard in the prison upon the pinnacle there. And he said, I looked and I thought, and I desired, I wanted that woman for my wife. And he said, you know, after they let me out, we married. And she had to quit her job. I'm just trying to make a long story short. But he said, when we got out, we went to work for God. And we started carrying the message to the prisons. Had two daughters. They went constantly, all the time. That's his job in the ministry. And after he had been out for some time, he went back to the judge's office. And when he walked in the judge's office through the door, he asked his secretary, he said, where is Judge so-and-so at? And she said, he's on the bench, but he'll be in a few minutes. And he said, by this time I heard the footsteps as he was coming into his office, and I stepped behind the door. A big black man, prisoner freed by the grace of God, standing behind the door when the judge walked in. And when the judge walked in, he said, I walked behind him and I tapped him on the back. And I said, Judge, I sentence you to life. And he said, the judge looked around and grabbed him and laid his arms around him and said, I've heard about the good things that you've been doing. And I want to tell you today on the authority of God's Word that God's little children who are free have not quit yet. They're still doing good things for the glory of God. Hallelujah, I'm glad I'm free. Praise His name forever. But there's one thing today that freedom requires of you and I. And that's the fact, amen, that we must recognize and accept the blood that fell at Calvary. Without it, there is no freedom. So we must admit, amen, or accept that Christ gave Himself for us. The Bible said that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, ready to do God's will. Now then, if you notice the word purify, it simply means, amen, that it is completely pure. There is no mixture in it. Amen. There is no substitute in it. Well, I feel good right now, folks. Amen. Because salvation in the life of a born-again child of God, there is nothing to substitute it with. There is no mixture in it. It is freedom and purity and holiness. Thank God forever. So today, if you want to be free and enjoy the freedom of God, you must, amen, accept the fact that Jesus Christ paid the price and is doing the work that needs to be done that He might set us free by His precious blood. Purify our life. And make the Bible said all this in Christ is a new creature. Something has to happen in a person's life before they can be free in Jesus Christ. Something must happen. Amen. And something else that's very important is the fact that when we become free in God and receive that freedom, then, my friend, we must accept the will of God. We must accept the will of God. Amen. Pray. Now, I find a lot of times that my will and my way and my life, so far as the physical man's concerned, has a problem. And you know what that problem is? Being totally and fully obedient to God. You have that problem, anybody? Because that is telling us, amen, to be carnal-minded and live after the flesh is to be in prison. But to be fully committed and submitted to the will of God simply is telling us that we have freedom that the world doesn't know anything about. We have freedom that I'm glad I'm saved. I'll say it again. Praise His name. But the Bible tells in Acts chapter 9, verse 6, and the Bible said, Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? And the Lord said, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, it seems to me that Saul was simply saying, how can I have this freedom? What can I do?
And I believe that if you analyze this scripture here, you'll find, amen, that the Lord was simply saying, you're going to have to quit what you're doing, amen. Amen, you're going to have to quit living like you're living. And now then, you're going to have to receive the instructions of God. In other words, to me, he simply said, Charles, you're going to have to lay down your stubborn will. Woo! You're going to have to lay down your sinful lust. And you're going to have to come clean with me. And then I'll be your God. And you'll have freedom that the world, woo, cannot understand. Hallelujah. The world doesn't understand why I have convictions like I have, Brother Todd. They don't understand why you, as a dedicated child of God, have convictions like you have. Because they're so different from the world. Because the world is in prison and they don't even realize it. But the children of God are free when they submit their ways and their will and is swallowed up in the will of God. I'm glad again I say today I'm free. Blessed be the name of God. So we got to surrender to His will. Thank God for Jesus. We try to plan our own life and try to go our way and bring God in on the edge. No, you live in prison. You live in chaos. You live in confusion. You live in conflict. But when you surrender it all to God, amen, let God be first. Then you can walk through the world and say, thank God I'm free by the grace of God. Hallelujah. You won't always see all the way to the end of life. And you might not even see a job next week. I don't know. Somebody said, preacher, I don't believe that's right. I want to tell you one thing. It's very right in your life and very right in mine. And the only thing that will bring freedom is being surrendered totally to the will of God, whatever He wants. And I've said this before and I say it again today. And I know we pity folks a lot of times when they don't have the best in life. People look down on because they don't wear clothes maybe as good as you have or as I have or somebody else. But I want to tell you one thing. Every one of us are not going through the gate because of what we have and what we know. We're not going in, amen, for the land of freedom because of who we are. But we're going in because we have accepted the freedom of God in faith through the blood that fell at Calvary. That's exactly right. Praise His holy name. The Bible said in Luke chapter 14 and verse 27, now when you get right with God, when you have this freedom in your life, you want to guard it, don't you? Now, I want to tell you something today. I believe that a sane person who has been in prison and he's out on parole, if he loves himself and he loves respect and he has any standards, he's going to be very careful that he does not violate probation. Amen? Because, Brother Tim, he knows if he violates that, he's going into prison. Thank God forever. And somebody said, oh, now, preacher, you'll be saved anyhow. I believe God saves a man. I don't think He saves a half a dozen times. Now, you believe that's up to you. But I want to tell you one thing. I believe that a man, amen, can live in a way that he'll live in prison because he has not simply forsaken the world and come out from among it. And therefore, you live a life of conflict. You live a life of trouble. And all the time, there's something tugging at you. Amen. Something just won't let you be free. But when you throw up your hand and holler calf rope to God and say, whatever you want, God, here I am, you just use it and I'll not worry about the rest of it. Amen. Thank God forever. I've told you this before and I'll tell it again today. And I believe with all of my heart, Brother Tim, that God, amen, in my life, did many things in my early ministry or before I started to show me that I'll do anything for you. Amen. Brother Dixon, I believe it with all of my heart, friend. I told you this before when I was in Korea in the army, in the service. And it looked like the devil, amen, throwed everything in the world he had at me. And I tried to hold the banner of God high. I was mocked, amen, and everything else. And it come time for me to come home, and there was no way to come home. The ships had all gone to Indochina. Whoa, you talk about pitting yourself. I laid down on that old GI blanket that night, Brother Harry. Amen. Nobody in the tent but me. And I said, God, whatever you do, I'll serve you. It doesn't matter. I can't get home without you. I can't even breathe without you. And whatever you do, God, I'll serve you anyhow. And there was a calm and a peace that come over my life. Hallelujah. Woo! And when that peace came over my life, and the men began to come into the tent, I said, I'm going home. I'm going home. I declare unto you today, my neighbor, don't you let the devil tell you you can't live right. Don't you let him tell you you can't live without the world. Don't you let him tell you you got to mix and mingle with what the world has. If you want to be free, get loose. Get loose. Thank God, just a day or two, my name was called and I started sailing the sea. Woo! Toward America. Hallelujah. Whoa! Glory to God. You know, today there's people, amen, that used to be my friends and are not my friends anymore. I'm not bragging about that. I wish they were. But I'll just keep going on. And folks said, you can't live like that and you're too strict and you're too hard. I like this way. I like this way. Thank God. Church, can I tell you something? I don't want to brag on you today, but I want you to know from the depths of my heart I love you and I appreciate you. And it thrills my soul, Skeeter, amen, to go out among the public today and see folks in the way they act and the way they dress and the way they do it. My mind automatically will reach back and grab my church people and say, boy, you ought to shout it from the housetop to how people live and dress respectful like they do when they come in your congregation. Somebody surely ought to say amen. But you know why it is? It's not just because of your preacher. But it's because of teachers. Amen. That taught the freedom of God and how to have it. And what it requires. Thank God forever. Don't never lower your standards. Don't ever take a chance. Because if the devil can get you inside the prison, he'll close the door on you. He'll close the door on you. Praise God forever. Jesus said, whosoever doth not bear his cross, come after me, he said, cannot be my disciple. Unless we follow him, we're in bondage. Unless we follow him, we have a master. And I don't even have to tell you who that master is, I think you know. But I remember reading in the Bible one time when he said, ye are the children of your father, the devil. The devil. And I'll tell you today, with all that God will give me, there is no freedom in the devil. There is no freedom in Satan. He'll make you think in your heart you're shining brighter than any church member there is. But my friend today, unless you're in the will of God, unless you have that freedom of God, you're in bondage and you're falling down to destruction. Praise His holy name. Now something else He tells us here. And you know there in Romans, what is it, 12 and 2? He said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Be not conformed, but be transformed. Don't be in prison, but live in freedom. Amen. Take that with you. Don't be in prison, live in freedom. God cares for His own. You believe that? God cares for His own. Something else we must do. We must be able to face opposition in order to have the freedom of God. We must be able to face opposition. You're saying, now, Brother Dixon, what are you saying here? I'm simply saying today, when you have that freedom in your life, somebody says something against you, you'll not grit your teeth at them. Boy, that's pretty plain, isn't it? But Todd, I've almost seen that out of people who claim to be Christians who are church people in the last few days. God help us. I'm not being critical. God knows all about it. But I want you to know one thing. My Bible told me if they smite me on one cheek, to turn the other. Amen? I tell you something else when He said, blessed are ye when men shall persecute you. He said, they persecuted me before they did you. And He finished it and went to heaven. Hallelujah. And today, He is forever and eternally set free from every obstacle. And He's home with the Father. And I'll soon be there by the grace of God. Are you glad you're free? Anybody in the house today? Let's just hold up one hand in here. Thank God for the freedom of God. But you'll meet opposition. But I want to tell you something, friend. If you don't handle it in the name of Jesus, you'll lose your spiritual freedom in your life. Huh? Amen. Now you say, oh, preacher, everybody's a human being. Let me tell you something. Unless that carnal flesh is conquered by the Holy Ghost and the power of God, you'll never make it. Jesus faced the world and He said, now when you face these things, you remember I was there before you got there. You remember I faced that before you did. And somebody said, oh, but He was God's Son. Yes, amen. But we are also the children of God through the new birth. Through the new birth. Blessed be the name of Jesus. But you'll meet opposition. Yeah, you may be going down the street and somebody say, well, you weren't involved with us. You didn't do this. Why didn't you do this? And Satan said, well, tell him you will the next time. You ought to look around if it's something pertaining to destroying your power with God. You ought to look at him and say, well, you know, God loves me and God loves you and God saved me and God redeemed me and I have freedom in God. And God just won't let me go that route. Amen? That's right. You can be happy with freedom in God. It's not a matter of arguing the point. But it's a matter of having the love of God and the freedom of God in your life that you can walk along with a smile and say, thank God I know from the depths of my heart that I'm free. I'm free. Well, I couldn't do it. No, you couldn't either. But by the grace of God, He did. He did. And I love Him, don't you? Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. There's something else you must do. Now, it doesn't matter how high on the pinnacle you climb. In order to have the freedom of God, you've got to come down. Now, you say, what are you talking about? Well, in order to have this freedom I'm talking about, it requires you and I to deny ourselves. Deny ourselves. Amen. Now, you know, I've thought about this a lot, and I want you to notice closely. Have you ever denied yourself of something for the glory of God? Amen. Now, if you aren't careful, probably 95 to 99% of the time, when this old man begins to want something, you go after it. Amen. When he begins to enjoy this way over here, you go after it. But we must deny ourselves. Amen? In order to please God. Let's just make it plain and simple. You know, sometimes we say, well, I can't go to prayer meeting because I haven't ate supper. Well, will you starve to death before 9? Amen? Will you starve to death before 10? But you say, well, I just didn't have time. I hadn't ate supper. I'm just using a simple illustration. But you see, you yielded to yourself rather than to bring the needs of your family and your community and your church and yourself to the altar before God. Amen? Somebody said, well, brother, listen, everybody don't believe like you do. That's all right. I'm not going to argue with you. But I know what I found in here that brings a peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. And church, I want to tell you something this morning. I believe if old Dixon had to lay down today, and this would be the last day he ever lived, I believe a second from the time that the soul left this old body, and I opened my eyes, I believe it would be the most beautiful thing to behold that I've ever known in all of my life. I believe the freedom would reach climax, and it would be the greatest that I've ever experienced. And it's all because that I love God's way. And I love it better than I love my own life. You know, Sister Ruby Parrish passed away a few weeks ago. And I had her funeral over in Georgia. And I made that statement from the pulpit at her funeral. I said, this lady loved God better than she loved her own life. And somebody said, brother, you can, yeah, I can say that. And I can say it because of experiences, amen, that I had in meetings and what I've seen in her life when cancer was devouring her body and she was suffering almost unbearable, she told the doctor in Texas, said, I want to go to revival. And that doctor said, what is revival? And she said, oh, we go and we pray and we sing and the preachers preach and we shout. And the doctor looked at her, Sister Willis, for a moment and said, I believe you need to go to revival. Hallelujah. How many Americans would have said, I got cancer and I'm sick. I'm not being unreasonable. But I'm telling you, when we can, beyond what the flesh lacks, we ought to go for God that we might enjoy the freedom that God has for us. Hallelujah. So I think I had a perfect right to say she loved God more than she loved her own life. If you were to leave here today and meet God, what would the world say about you? Somebody said, well, I don't care what they say about me. Well, I do. I'm going to tell you. I'm really concerned because if the world don't have some confidence in me, I'm not likely to do any good while I'm living. Amen? Praise His name. But we must deny ourselves. And something else, you know, and I'm just going to talk to you by God's help, but you know, the devil will come along and he'll tell you on Sunday morning, he'll say, now, you know you're involved in this and you need to go there. And I've often wanted the chimes to be on top of this building. Even though they might not sound perfectly. But I'd like it to ring across the holler or down through the holler somewhere. And when they hear that chime, there's a voice that speaks out and says, I bought you. You belong to me. You may need me tomorrow. And you'll find yourself crying at the prison bars in the flesh, wanting the freedom of God. And all you can do is yourself, play the fool. Amen? Amen? You know, it's so easy. I'll tell you something else sometime. Now, I'm not being critical. You call me when you get ready. If I'm at home, that's good. If I'm not, that's still all right. But if you aren't careful, somebody will call you about 9:45 at your house. And if you're not gone, you got about a 30-minute conversation on the telephone. Boy, Brother Dixon, you're... No, I'm not. I'm just telling you. There are some things that brings you into prison spiritually in your life. And when you're in prison spiritually, the work of God in your life or in your home is not going forward for the glory of God. Say amen. So, you know that without me telling you. When you're in spiritual bondage, that freedom, amen, in your life is being hindered and somebody is going down in destruction without a hope. Without a hope. Well, I've already preached along with intended to this morning. But I want you to think about these things. What freedom requires. And you know what? If I live to be 100 years of age, I'd like to be able in the final moments to raise my hand. Amen. And say, thank God I'm different. Thank God I'm free. Amen. That's right. Now, let me say this as I close today. I want you to come to the piano, Skeeter, if you will. Evan, if you want to come and sing or whatever. But while they're coming this morning, I want to tell you, my friend, that the ransom for the freedom that I have was very expensive. Amen. Now, I'm not saying to me, it was expensive. But to heaven, it was expensive. Are you listening to me? Because the very best heaven had came all the way down here and paid the price for my dying soul. It was very expensive. The ransom was. But my friend, let me remind you of something else. Again, freedom requires something. So, you have the lesser price to pay for freedom in your life. Amen. You know, he spoke concerning tithes and offerings. I don't know why God put this on my mind instantly. In what is it, Malachi 3? He said, prove me herewith and see. If I won't pour you out a blessing, there'll not even be room to contain. Do we pay that price? What do you mean, Brother Dixon? Or do we say, hey, I can't afford no tithes? Go ahead. But the freedom is not in what you think. The freedom is not in who you are. But the freedom is in obedience to the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. My family may get sick this evening. I don't know. I might have to go to the hospital with them. But I learned one thing a few years ago. That I owed God my tithes. You'll never, 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 if I live to be old, you'll never make me believe I owe God my tithes. And I'd rather just put them in an offering plate or bring them and lay them on the altar than to stand behind my wife's bed or my child and cry and God saying, I told you, I warned you. There's the prison of suffering, the prison of grief, the prison of the dimness of life that we live in this world. Boy, if I could, I'd just start singing right now. I'm singing, I'll take the way with the Lord's despised view. I've started in Jesus, and I'm going through. The only way I know today to offer you the invitation of God is just tell you while they sing right now. If you're in this house, you feel in your life that you don't really have the freedom of God, I wish you'd bring it to Him this morning. I wish you'd come with an open heart and an open mind. Saying, God, I want you to make me what you want me to be today. I come.